This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. On this episode, we're going to talk about the series versus the Seattle Mariners that started out well. Then the Astros forgot how to score, and then they lost a nail-biter in Game 3. I don't know if it was a nail-biter, but it was a closer game than Game 2. And here to talk about it, welcome back, Mr. Ryan and Wally. Ryan, what's up? How you been, pal?
Hey, guys. Man, it's been crazy. Some people know that we own a school, and this time of year, you're involved in anything that has to do with a school. It's crazy. So took a little time just to make sure that things were running good, and back with you guys, and I'm glad to be here. Wale.
You know, I'm like everybody else. This weekend was kind of a whole range of emotions. We were great. We were at the game on Friday night, so we got to see the Mariners execute little league base running. And then Saturday night was one of those games where you just have some of those games. And the killer was Sunday. The killer was Sunday for the Astros.
Killer was Sunday. Yeah. Saturday sucked pretty well. Yeah, but let's start with Friday. You want to start with Friday? Ronel Blanco, he's been one of the best pitchers so far. And he pitched great. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Gave up 2 home runs. His ERA is 2.09. Seattle took a 3-1 lead. And then we scored on a throwing error. Dubon brought in Diaz on a sac fly. Altuve brought in Jake. And then Breggy walked with the bases loaded. We have a big 7th inning and win this game. Wally, what are your thoughts on game one?
It reminded me of the games that the Astros have won in years past. They stayed close, might give up a few in the beginning, but when a team gave them a chance to latch down and get a win, they did it. They put their hooks in them, and they hung them and didn't let them off the hook.
Yeah, you know, Friday's game was fun to watch for a change, wasn't it? The Astros kind of looked Astros-esque, moving runners, a little bit of small ball in there, playing good defense. Ronel Blanco having another great outing. The Astros got to Kirby, which he's one of the better pitchers that they typically have success against. And so I wasn't surprised that the game went the way that it did. But it was a nice surprise considering everything that we've been through as Astros fans lately. So
the last series was good. And this is what I said on my TikTok video I think right after I cut the grass, is that the Astros are really bad at home. And we just went 3-3 against 2 first place teams, and we're playing better. It doesn't matter if we went 3-3 or 500. It doesn't matter. You can see it. You can see that the Astros are playing better. Now, they didn't have to play too much better to be better because they were playing so bad. But I like what I see so far. What about you, Wally?
I think the Sunday game was the one where you kick yourself and say they've just got to win those games. We've got to take a look at where we are. Before the game, they were 12-21. So if they went 21-12, you're at 66 games and you're finally back to 500. If it takes you that long to get to 500 in a season, kind of gives you an idea of the magnitude of the hill they have to climb. And that's what makes these games that you really should win and don't just that much more devastating.
Yeah, and like I said, watching them play on Friday kind of gave me that feeling of, are they figuring some things back out? Singleton, like, do we have a first baseman finally? Like Singleton's producing, making good defensive plays. This was a series that needed to be won, though, I think, for confidence purposes and for them to really feel like they had it back. Yeah, coming home from New Mexico was a high. I think maybe they had a little swagger going into Friday night's game against Kirby. We'll get to game two. That may have deflated them a little bit, but it did feel like they were, you know, it did feel like they were like back a little bit. You saw a little bit of fun happening on the field and some pride and a little bit of confidence at the plate. So it was a struggle to see that this series ended up the way that it did.
Yeah, that's something we spoke about, is that the Astros need to have fun. Yeah. They need to have fun, and they need a leader. Wally, what were you going to say?
Well, back to the importance of the Sunday game, it's the difference between being 5 games out and 7 games out. Yep. We started off at 6. We had a chance to gain ground. We didn't do it. And that's – there's part of this – team that I think they're actually trying to figure out who they really are with new management, with a new manager. Espada brings a different kind of a feel to the club. You've got some guys who are not performing. Your leaders aren't performing, or at least Bregman in particular. And Alvarez is not performing to the way that he normally can. And I think as we talked in one of the last pods, they're looking for somebody to take charge, and it's got to be someone who's performing. A guy hitting 205 is not going to be your leader right now.
That's true. All right. Yep. So Magic Man had a scoreless 7th. He picked up the win. Presley, 2 hits and a strikeout. Hader, a walk and 2 strikeouts. Picks up save number 4. Yiner, 2 for 4. Loperfido, 2 for 2. And then they pinch hit for him. Bregman, Yordan, and Altuve all had 1 hit each. The Astros, 5 hits. I mean, 7 hits. I need to put that backwards because I don't say it that way. 7 hits, 5 runs, 2 for 6 with runners in scoring position, and they left 7 on base. Here is game 2's recap, folks. Framber Valdez pitched 5 1/3, 9 hits, 5 runs, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. Gave up 2 long balls. His ERA is 3.97. It's not too bad based on how bad he's been playing. It's not that bad. It's not as bad as you would think it was. The Astros, 3 hits. 0 runs, 0-for-2 runners in scoring position. They left 4 on base. I'm not even going to go over the scoring. They lost 5-0. Here's the offensive numbers. Yordan, 2-for-3. JP, 3 had a hit. Not much to talk about, Ryan.
No, and I tweeted it. I said sometimes there's just those games when you go up against a sick pitcher and you just get had. You tip your hat. You dust off and you get ready for tomorrow. Gilbert had he had the scouting report right. He had his execution nailed down. He hit his spots and he just dealt. And sometimes you just have one of those games where you just plain get beat, as opposed to some of the other games like tonight where you beat yourself. Saturday night's game, they just got beat. Gilbert was just disgusting. He was ridiculous.
And they talk about the third of the games you win no matter what, third of the games you lose no matter what. Well, this is one of the games you're going to lose no matter what, because I agree with you 100%. Guy gives up 3 hits, and he always has our number. There's certain guys that they just know that when they get on the mound, they're going to get you. And the Astros know what the records are, and they know they've got an uphill climb too.
So if the Astros are going to have an outing from Framber Valdez, that's 5 1/3, 9 hits, 5 runs, might as well have one when the offense can't do anything. So get it out of the way when the offense is not helping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Just the thing that's interesting is that those games that Framber has, it's when there's no run support. It's like, man, you could almost deal with Framber giving up, 5 runs if you score 5 runs, and then late and close, you make something happen. But in those games, it's almost like, yeah, well, Fromber's not having a good day. We're just gonna slow roll through till the end of the game here, take the day off. I don't know.
And you know, Brian, I put it on the other way, on the converse of that. If Fromber can go up and match zeros, who knows if Gilbert gets tight? You know, he knew at a 5-run lead, he could sit back and deal. He was in his rocking chair. Yep. Every pitch did not mean anything, so he could be free and loose and throw.
Yeah. You
know, if it's nothing in the seventh inning, boy, you know, you grip that slider a little tight, it hangs, and it ends up on the train tracks.
That's true. That's a good point, Wally.
Yeah, it's been the problem with getting behind so late in games or so early in games. Is that you feel like you have to push and you feel like you're not, you know, comfortable, and you got to do the things that maybe you normally wouldn't do because you're trying to make something happen either in the box or on the mound. And yeah, the flip side of that is Gilbert, you know, yeah, he was sitting back in his rocking chair, just able to just go and do his stuff and not worry about, oh, you know, if I give one up, that four more to go.
Yeah. So, Gilbert had his darts and he said, give me a beer, and he's shooting a bullseye, just
yeah. Ted Lasso style, right?
That's right. That's perfect. That's such a classic scene.
It is. All right, game three, boys. Game three, Hunter Brown. And we got a fair foul about Hunter Brown, so don't take it. Don't lash out on him too hard. Top of the second. They loaded the bases and Hunter walked a guy. And then Rojas had an RBI single, 2-0. Top of the sixth, Rayleigh had a home run, 3-0 Astros after 5.5. But then they decided to come back. It's kind of weird. They didn't score till the seventh, and now it's the sixth. I guess Seattle has the bullpen's not that great. Kyle Tucker, 2-run homer. Cuts the lead to 1, and then John Singleton. I got that alert at HEB, and I'm like, Singleton again, dude? It's 3-3. No, it's 4-3.
4-3.
Both of them were 2-run shots. I wrote it down wrong earlier, and I had to correct it. So they both hit 2-run shots, 1 in the 6th, 1 in the 7th. We're up 4-3, and then Seattle tied it, and then a solo home run against Josh Hader. Wally, talk about this game. I know it's frustrating.
Yeah, that was kind of a slow pitch beer league fastball that he threw to Cal Raleigh. I mean, give TK and Blum a lot of credit. They don't run the guys down at all. But TK said, you know, you got to throw a better pitch than that, or say you can't throw that pitch. It was right down the middle. It was straight. It was, you know, He couldn't help but hit a home run on that. Yeah, Ryan, I'd be interested in what you thought about when he brought Abreu in. You think he should have brought Hader in? Or not Hader, yeah. I mean Presley.
I'm so torn right now because, honestly, I'm of the mindset, and I don't know if this made fair or foul. Does Presley need to slap back into the closer role?
That is in fair or foul, sir.
Okay. A little foreshadowing there. Abreu just can't locate anything right now. And so I have zero confidence in Abreu. So should he have brought Presley in, knowing that he was going to throw Hader in there to close it? Probably. I can't trust Abreu in a high leverage situation right now. He needs to come in a medium leverage situation and show us that he can locate pitches. I mean, Yiner set up low and outside on a fastball that came high and in tight. And it just, you can just tell that he has no idea where the ball is going when it releases from his hand.
Yeah. I agree with you though.
It's tough, man, to say, you know, look, this big three was, they were so pumped up to be, you know, possibly the best three back end of the rotation that maybe baseball has ever seen. And now we're at what, a 5.32 ERA for the back three here, these guys. I'm speechless. And I think most people are when it comes to what's going on with the back with those three guys right now. I mean, Presley's figured something out over his last 7 games or so. last seven outings or so. But, you know, you say 12 and 22, man, we've had 8 blown saves. Like, what would be the difference in this season if only half of those were the case? It's a problem, and I have no idea how they resolve it and figure out what's going on, but it's a problem.
Yeah. Presley started throwing the fastball a lot more. When he first came, there was an outing, I think we talked about, that he threw 13 pitches, got lit up, 12 of them were breaking balls, and one was a show-me fastball. He's been running the fastball up and then setting the breaking ball up with it. The thing that I find so strange about this bullpen is what we thought was going to be bad is really pretty good. And what we thought was going to be good has been pretty bad. I mean, you look at the guys who are pitching. You got Taylor Scott. In your life, would you think Taylor Scott would be really productive? You know, just go through the guys that they had
pitching. Is he the South African?
Yeah.
Just kidding. They always mention it. It's
funny. Yeah. Belak throws 3 shutout innings the other day. Sean Dubin has been pretty good. Montero, until the last outing or two, has been pretty good. But the back end has been atrocious.
Yep. So Hunter, 4 1/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Magic Man, 2/3 of an inning, no hits and no runs. Montero, 2 hits and a run. He gave up a home run. Dubin, no runs. Abreu, a hit and a run. Blown save, number 2. So that's second time. I don't know how they blow a save in the 8th inning. Oh, I guess they're at home, so it's a blown save. Number 2, so there's 2 of them right there. His ERA is 4.32, and Josh Hader gave up that solo home run. He's 1-3. With a 6.14 ERA. And when we were talking Astros baseball in the preseason, we were like, just like Wally said, man, all we got to do is get to the 7th inning and it's over. And that has totally 1,000% not been the case.
I mean, these are like earthquake level ERAs, 5.3, 6.1. It's terrible.
Quadruple A pitchers level, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy to see. You know, I've got to give Hunter a little bit of credit for today, despite how really bad he looks, to only let 2 go and keep this team in that game. He pitched out of some pretty rough situations that he put himself into. So little bit of credit to Hunter. For getting out of those tricky situations. But yeah, Montero, he's been good. So, you know, everybody's allowed a game every so often, I guess. But this is a problem. Perfect. No, he can't be perfect. And I think that, you know, watching the back end of this bullpen has been just a nightmare that I want to wake up from.
I think if they did not have a day off tomorrow, they were going to play on Monday. I think Espada would have given Brown a chance to work out of the inning. He knew he had a day to play with. Hunter had really, like you said, Hunter could have been a lot worse, but he had worked himself through, showed a lot of maturity for him. You know, kind of like Arrighetti did the other day, you know, worked himself out of some jams. Yep. And I think Espada wanted to get him out of there with a good feeling about the game.
I saw some posts on X about should I think this is unfair or foul though, so we can't really answer it. But I saw some posts about should he go to AAA. So when I read that he only allowed 2 runs, I stopped and I'm like, man, did I mess up and write this down wrong? But I just thought he did really horrible, but I guess he did horrible, but he fought out of it. So go ahead, Ryan.
Well, no, you brought up Dubin, and I don't have his numbers in front of me to say exactly how good he's been, but a pleasant surprise, Dubin coming up and doing what he's done. I don't think that he's allowed a run since he's been back up this year. And so he's quietly been a key role in that middle part of the lineup there, the pitching staff, again, that's been a surprise. But yeah, hat tip to Dubin for you know, coming in and being kind of one of those quiet guys that just comes in and gets the job done, like Taylor Scott.
Dubin had some moxie because in the extra inning games that he lost, he had given up a run. He had the bases loaded and then got out of it without giving up another run. He strike out and then coached a double play. So the guy's got some presence about him.
I was trying to look up the ERA on the website here, but you guys, Dubin's,
you know what it is? Dubin's got a 6.23 because he had that one inning.
Oh,
you remember that inning, that time when Whitley came in late for him and he'd gone two or three innings already, and then Whitley came in and
let them all score. Yeah, someone had posted this before the show. Hader, Presley, and Abreu, y'all already said the ERA, 5.32 combined, and they've allowed 26 runs. It's a lot of runs. I don't know. I'd like to see how many appearances that is in runs, because it's not good. It's definitely not good, but one bad outing will blow your game up. But, I mean, these guys are coming in with a one-run lead and either getting it tied or blowing it all together. So they're not in there long enough, especially Hader. He's not in there long enough to give up four or five runs.
And no one feels worse about it than they do. You know, they know their jobs. Of course. I mean, they've got to be pressing. And we talked about Gilbert possibly squeezing a slider. It didn't happen today, but you know, they're pressing. Maybe Hader loses a little command because he knows how important it is. He gets down on himself or he gets wound up. He threw that ball right over the middle of the plate rather than trying to locate it on the edge.
Yep. So offensively in that game, Altuve went 2 for 4, scored a run. Kyle Tucker 1 for 3. He drove in 2. Alex Bregman 1 for 4. He's hitting .202. JP3 1 for 4. This is someone that I didn't expect to be hitting .323 after a month. He's doing great. Singleton 2 for 4. He drove in 2. The Astros had 4 runs on 8 hits. 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position. They left 6 on base. So they lost the series. They split the home 3-3 over 2 first-place teams. It's not what we wish we could have, but it's not that bad.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, today's game was probably the frustrating thing, right? This is a series that could have been won, and you did everything that you needed to do from an offensive standpoint to put enough runs on the board to win games. And so, once again, we go back to the back end of the bullpen giving one away. So it's frustrating, but you know, I think, yeah, the encouraging thing here is that the offense has peaked up, you know, despite Gilbert just plowing through them, I'm going to write that game off. But when you look at Friday and today, you know, this team has done much of what it's needed to do to put guys on base, to get the runners that are in scoring position around. And you're starting to see a little bit of power from guys. They're putting them over the fence when they need to put them over the fence and get those runs in like that. You know, last year, one of the things that they didn't really do very well that they have done in previous years was late and close games, winning late and close. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things that I want to see this team come back and figure out how to do. In years past, man, this team, if they were down in the 7th or 8th inning, it was not a, like, the Astros are out of it. All right, we're going to turn the game off. No, yeah. Like, you watch till the very last pitch, because the chances that this team was coming back to win one were really, really good. Last year and so far this year, you just don't see that moxie at the end of the game where these guys are like, hey, we can still win this. We can still put 2 or 3 up in the last couple of innings and finish off a game. You don't see that moxie, so... I'd love to see that come back. And I think that you've got guys like Singleton towards the end of the lineup there that can add a little bit of power and pop and put one over the fence late in the game when you need something. And I'd love to see more of that kind of happen. It's great to see Singleton getting some hits. We might actually have a first baseman that we can rely on right now.
And just having somebody that's average is so much better than what we've had. One of the things we talked about early in the season in one of these casts is we talked about the Seattle staff. That Seattle pitching is really good. I felt that the Astros, some of the numbers don't look right, but I think the Astros did maximize their potential as far as the runs, because when you look at the series total, the Astros hit 198 with a 559 OPS and with 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position. You know, 2-for-12 is not good, but that tells you in three games, you had four guys in scoring position per game. That's some pretty salty pitching, you know, because the Astros are hitting 260 as a team. They're fourth or fifth in the MLB. You know, they're good offense. And this Seattle staff is real. They're not going anywhere.
All right. It's that time. It is that time, folks, for the Ram Shirts player of the game. And I can't remember his name, but he won a shirt and I emailed him. Hopefully he watched the last episode so he knows that he won. But we're giving another one away. We're giving another one away. I ordered two. I got them in. I like him. He has a $14 sale right now, folks. You go to Ram Shirts, the ones with two colors, $14. You can't beat them. So anyway, we'll do the Ram Shirts player of the game, player of the series, my bad, right after this.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back. It's Wally, it's Ryan, and myself. It is time for the Ram Shirts player of the series. We're going to start with pitcher, and let's start with Ryan.
I'm going to give this one to Blanco. I think he deserves it. That was a heck of an outing. You know, the 6Ks is kind of really what probably did it for me. For that guy to come out again and again and again, and put this team on his shoulders. That was a heck of a performance from Blanco. And so I've got to give it to Blanco.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Six innings, five hits, whip of 1.17. Did give up a couple of home runs, but you know, as we've talked about a few other times, he kept them in the game. You know, there was only someone on once, so he had a two run and a one and a solo shot. Yep. You know, solo shots are typically not going to get you beat, but you can't have too many of them. But if, you know, three runs, you ought to be able to score four.
All right, I'm throwing a curveball here with my pitcher of the series. I'm going with the Magic Man. I don't even know his name. What's his name? Seth Martinez. Two appearances in this series, an inning and two thirds. He didn't even give up a hit. He didn't even walk anybody. An amazing job by Seth Martinez. That's my player of the series. Next up, position player. This was kind of tough because there was really no offense. Who you got, Wally?
I've got Yordan. Hit 333 for the series at an OPS of 788. Yeah, there were just three singles, but he also worked a couple of walks. Like you said, we're kind of scratching at the bottom of the barrel to find somebody that had a good, really good series, because you know, no one really did. 788 was the highest on the team for the OPS. So I'm giving it to Yordan, but you know, put an asterisk on it.
Yeah, I'm going to flip a coin between Singleton and Pena, but I think I'm going to give it to JP3. He had some defensive plays that really made a difference in a couple of the opportunities for this team to stay in those games. And so, yeah, I'm going to have to give it to Pena for defensive plays. And I haven't looked at his stats for what he did during the series because, like Wally said, yeah, you know, wasn't a ton of offense coming through this, but he flashed some leather over this series. It's good to see him at least have that confidence from a defensive standpoint to continue to hustle out there with the glove.
And on that play that he laid out into the hole and threw across and got him, give Singleton a attaboy on that, because that was a heck of a stretch and it was a nice short hop pickup.
Yep. Absolutely.
I gave it to Kyle Tucker. He had a two-run homer when we were down. Got everything going. Singleton had a two-run homer also in that same inning or the inning next, but he got it going offensively. Wasn't nothing happening, but you could have given it to almost anybody, and there's no argument.
Well, there'd be an argument to give it to anybody.
we give offensive player, position player of the series, we give it to somebody who plays for Seattle.
Yeah.
All right, Coach Rose, I'll go first on this one. I gave it to John Singleton. He keeps surprising me. He keeps scoring, and I think it's because he keeps doing things. He may not be hitting 400 or 500, but it seems like he's doing stuff. And just imagine if he wasn't playing with us right now, because he's done a lot in this series. He's been hitting home runs, and he's been exceeding my expectation. That's my Coach Rose winner. I think he was player of the series last week. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I think that's why I said I was going to be a coin flip between him and Pena. I think Singleton has found an opportunity to step up and contribute to this team, and he's embracing it. And I love to see it. I think that it takes some heart to know that you were, playing second fiddle to one of the worst performances maybe ever to be experienced in Major League Baseball, and to come in and step up and you know, put a couple over the fence, play some good defense at first base, and contribute to this team. I'll agree with you on the Rose.
Yeah, can you imagine being someone like Singleton and just say, "God, he stinks." Yeah, what does that say about me?
Did you say your Rose, Wally?
I'm going to say it's Loperfido. Loperfido was 3-for-6 in the series. You know, the guys come out as have their first series, and he got enough ABs. Had enough ABs to in the first series to where they could get a game on him, get a book on him, and he still had 3 hits. You know, mm-hmm. he's acting like he belongs, and in the play he made against the fence to throw the guy out at second base on the first game, that was veteran stuff.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
All right, so we got a comment from Solarith, my old buddy Solarith here. What? No hater pitcher of the series? Such a waste of money and a joke of a signing, as Dana Brown ruins the dynasty from money and a chemistry standpoint. You guys agree with this?
No.
Not yet.
No.
I don't agree with it.
It's May 5th. I mean.
I think it just didn't work out. And I think they signed him for a long time, so you better get used to it.
He has a pretty long leash for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's proven that he's one of the best closers. I mean, did it, the chemistry part, is it that we already had a closer and it kind of ruined the chemistry at the end? Should we have kept Hector Neris? I wish we had Hector Neris. Things would be a little different, but who knows? These guys just aren't playing up to standards. Nobody. None of them. The big three are the big flops.
People are asking about Neris. Neris, he's got 6 saves. He's also got a 3.45 ERA, which for a closer is pretty high. And we're talking about Presley with rose-colored glasses, because last year we were complaining about Presley as he couldn't close games like he used to. He was not an automatic last year. And so I think sometimes it takes a while for him to work out. I don't blame Brown and crew from going out and getting Hader, because if someone comes to you and says, "Rob, Ryan, you want Josh Hader on your team?" You ought to have said, "Hell yeah."
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I, like you said, for better or for worse, Presley was on the slide. He was on a bad slide second half of last year. I mean, he was worse than Montero after the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people actually realize that. And so when you see somebody have an extended slide like he did at the end of last year, and you have the opportunity to bring in a guy like Hader, who's proven that, yeah, I think you make that move. I do think it's too early to make a call on Hader. The guy's got everything that he, needs to do the job right. whatever the issue is, it's still early in the season. Yes, I just said that, put it in quotes and tweeted, I don't care, but it's still just May 5th. And time is not on your side. So, yes, they have to figure it out pretty quick, but it is still just May 5th.
So today,
it's always Memorial. I'm sorry.
No, Bob. Go ahead.
It's Memorial Day is always kind of the line of demarcation. When you get to Memorial Day, that means you're 2 months into the season. You kind of know what you have.
All right. So today, my wife said, "What is Cinco de Mayo?" Because she knows she doesn't know any Spanish, and you know, she wasn't born and raised here in San Antonio or Houston or whatever. And I just found it funny, like, that she didn't know what Cinco de Mayo meant. So, all right, let's take a look at the standings. Seattle 19 and 15. Texas 19 and 16. They won a series against the Royals, who swept the Astros. Oakland is 17 and 18. They're almost at 500. This is a team without a city. This is a team that could care less if they win or not. But the players on that are wearing the uniforms, they look like they want to win. And Houston's 12 and 22, and the Angels are 12 and 22, and they just lost a series to Cleveland. So we're not that far behind. Our record really, really sucks, but I mean, we're 10 games under 500.
Here's something for you. Oakland started off 1-7. Okay. Dang. Do the math. Those guys have picked themselves off. They're 16 and 11 since then. Good for them. Good for them for picking themselves up, not feeling sorry for themselves and playing some ball.
They beat Miami 20-4 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Who got the two safeties?
I think they lost Sunday, though.
I think they were happy Luis Arias left.
It was a blow-your-wad game.
Yeah.
That was a big trade.
Like I said, that was a big trade. Yeah. It's a big trade. Miami paid off all of his contract, basically, aside from player minimum. That's nuts.
We should have talked.
But to go back to the standings, you know, again, I say 12 and 22, knowing that you have eight blown saves. Like Wally said, do the math. This is not a team that is out of competitive contention by any stretch of the imagination. A couple of tweaks, a couple of good closed games. Some foreshadowing to fair or foul right there again. Maybe in this team, it's a whole different story. So I think that there's plenty of runway here for the Astros to do what they need to do to get back into that race, and it's not that far off.
You were mentioning that what if they only blew four of those eight saves? They would be 16 and 18.
Yep, there you go.
And we'd still be complaining they blew four saves.
Well, and rightfully so, considering who the back three of these guys are and what we're expecting of them. But still, you know,
we'd be feeling a lot better.
Fix some things. Yeah.
We're 16 and 18. We feel a lot better about ourselves or them.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, the Astros are off tomorrow. Tuesday at the Yankees at 6:05, Wednesday at 6:05, Thursday at 4:05. And then after that, they face A.J. Hinch and the Detroit Tigers next weekend. You happen to have any of those pitching matchups, Wally? I didn't check for that.
Let me see what we got here. So we've got on Tuesday, we've got JV against Luis Gil. G-I-L, I think they pronounce it Gil. That's what we'll call him tonight. Let me see. This thing will refresh. Someone help me on Wednesday.
I'm pulling it up right here. Wednesday, Verlander.
There
it is. All right. So we've got
Arrigetti and Rodon.
There it is.
Rodon.
Yep.
Should use your
Thursday, Blanco and Marcus Stroman.
There you go. Good
pitching matchups.
It's going to be really good pitching matchups. We just got to shut down that one guy. And if there's a guy on base, just walk him. Just walk him. Should have walked him.
Give him the Barry Bonds treatment.
You should. Just look back at that first series. There were situations they could have just walked him, and it wouldn't have been that bad because he was definitely a one-man wrecking crew.
He and Cabrera just ate our lunch. No one else did anything.
All right, let's go to this, folks. It is time for this. Fair or foul? This might be Ryan's debut here. Not sure if we had any.
I think it is.
All right, so I'll start with the Astros base ones, and then there's a few or just things to ponder about eating and stuff like that. All right, number one, and this is why I was confused about it, because he only gave up two runs today, but this is going around on X. Hunter Brown should be sent packing back to AA. Triple A, my bad. He's not an alcoholic.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh man, should he? So I'm gonna say fair. Let him go down, take a couple of starts in Sugarland, work on location, execution. You know, the kid was great when he was in Sugarland. Those coaches down there are the same coaches. He has an opportunity to go and get some work in and see if he can extend some outings. Don't worry about, you know, winning a game. Don't worry about how many runs, you know, the whole pressure to perform. I think a little bit of time down there just might do him some good. JP France is down there and his last outing looked really good. So I think there's some lack of pressure when one of these guys goes down and they're able to get some work in, less, you know, flash bulbs and lights of the media and a bunch of attention. You know, despite all of the expectations of this kid and the comparisons to JV and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, maybe he was rushed up a little bit. So let him get back down there and do a little bit of work and see what happens.
I'm going foul. Here's why I'm going foul. Had he completely fallen apart today, I would have said absolutely fair. He worked himself out and got enough length in a day where he really didn't have it. But he was able to keep the Astros in the game, gave up two runs in an inning. He could have given up about six. He gave up nine against Kansas City, and he's had some issues in the first inning, but he's learning to limit that, and he's learning to pitch. And one thing that you don't see today's pitchers get taught is to get out of their own mess, is to pitch out of their own mess. You got the managers are too quick to come up and pull them, and they baby them, and these pitchers need to learn how to pitch their ways out of their own mess, and he's only going to do that up in the big leagues right now. Plus the fact, we've got 29 games in 30 days. We're going to need an extra starter.
I also say foul. I think he is struggling this year, but like you just said, we have a lot of games coming up, but even if you just throw him in the bullpen, let him get his head right. He's good enough. He showed it when he first got called up. He came out of the bullpen and shut people down. I think he's good enough to do that. What would y'all say if when Javier comes back and you got to take someone out of the rotation, you take out Hunter or do you take out Arrighetti?
Tell me after Arrighetti pitches on Wednesday.
You got to say it now, Wally.
Let's come back to this one. Yeah.
You got to say it now because then, you know.
I'd say you pull Arrighetti out and put him in the pen. Hunter's been a starter. He's been here. This is his third year up in his second full year, and he's got almost two full years in the bigs now. Let him work his way out. Arrighetti, you're going to do less damage to the psyche if he has to go down to AAA. He's done it once this year. He has to do it again. That's what happens.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you do because you have to send somebody back. And so who that person is the big question, right? Your middle relief guys are, you know, aside from Blanco and, you know, are carrying the team right now. So it's hard to say who's going to get sent back when Javier comes in. That's why I'm a fair on Hunter Brown going down and just getting some work in. You know, I'm sure that probably Dubin is the guy that's on the bubble. Honestly, just tenure and, you know, pecking order, really.
He's got options.
He's got options. And as long as Seth Martinez is throwing the way that he is, you know, Montero's still playing well, which obviously he doesn't have options. But I think that Dubin's probably the guy in the bubble. He's the least needed arm down there. So I think that you know, if you don't send Dubin back, then you send Hunter down and let him get a little bit of work in.
Well, and since they got rid of Joel, take my baggage to the bus, Kunell. We don't have him to shuttle back and forth.
So I would actually do what I said earlier. I would put Hunter in the bullpen, and I would leave Arrigetti in the rotation. And I'll back that up on Wednesday too. It's okay. All right, number two. Start with Wally on this because it was his. The Astros lack a killer instinct.
I put it in. It's fair. The one thing that the Astros in years past have done is they've known how to win. Doesn't necessarily mean you play well, but if you back in the day, people used to complain about the Dallas Cowboys. They got so lucky. Well, you know what happened is they were within 3 points at the end of the game, and all they needed was one drive. You know, the Astros in years past would be within a run or two, and like Ryan said earlier in the cast, man, if you're one or two down, you stuck in there because you figured they're going to at least put a threat together and give themselves a chance to win. And right now they're finding ways to lose, and they're just not dropping the hammer on teams when they get a chance.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I think that they're just missing that swagger. There's still something there, whether it's a confidence issue, whether it's just deflated because of how bad things have gone. You know, they really just feel like they're missing that spark. They're missing that swagger. They're missing that killer instinct. They're missing that confidence where they can say, we can go out this inning and put two on the board at any given time. And so I think that's part of the struggle. You know, there's a big mental part of the game that you have to take into consideration. And I think that that's a big piece of this. Really, I do.
You know, what you can say, whatever it is, they're missing it.
Yep.
I say Farrell.
Yeah.
And then Solarith says, it looks like we're going through the motions right now. And some people have said that before. The Astros don't look like they care. They don't look like they're trying to win. And I think it's just because they don't have that energy and they don't have that leader and they're not having fun. Wally talks about that every show. And but anyway, I say they don't have it. Number five. Oh, it's number three. I put them in the wrong order. But anyway, number three, the Astros, fair or foul, should move Presley back to closer. Wally.
No. We talked about foul. We talked earlier in the cast that we're looking at Presley through rose-colored glasses. Now, you know, Ryan mentioned he was bad last year at the last half of the season. Last half of the season was when he started going away from throwing fastballs to set up his breaking stuff. He actually was asked that question last year, and he says, hey, look at my record. You know, they look at my spin rate and blah, blah, blah. Problem was he wasn't getting people out. What he's really done this year has gone since the first couple of outings when he got lit up is he's gone back to throwing that fat 93, 94 high fastball, dropping it into the breaking stuff. But Hader's the guy. As much as Presley's gotten better, Hader's the guy. You brought Hader the guy, and the collateral damage that you might cause by moving Hader out of the closer at this point would be devastating.
Am I allowed to say I'm on the fence?
Depends how thin the fence is.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing here is that I
only two options.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. I'm going to say fair-ish. Ooh. And my ish part to this is despite the idea that we had with giving the label of closer and 8 and 7, you know, Abreu and Presley, I would still really love to see that perhaps they're looking at matchups better and which pitcher is going to match up better to the three that are supposed to come up in whatever given inning and roll with that. When you've got a guy, you know, yes, Presley's regression and his slide last year, not starting the season off very well, taking all of that into account, his last seven games have been great. Less than a 2 ERA, or a 1.29 ERA. He's allowed 7 hits, only 1 earned run, only given up 1 walk. Now only one of them are in 11 Ks. So his last 7 outings have been freaking amazing. And Wally has said it's because he's kind of gone back to the fastball, which that's been part of his problem for the last 2 years when you go back and you really look at his pitch usage. So I think that taking a look at Presley, and if the 9th inning is the best place for him from a matchup standpoint, then get him in there and it's fine. Make him the closer that night, whatever. But the label of closer, you know, I'm with Wally with the label of closer. Hader's the guy. They brought him in to do a job. Freaking do your job, dude, and be the closer, right? But if that's not going to work out, then I think that Espada and Miller need to get together and smash heads together and say, hey, we're just going to have to throw this label out the window. And let's play some analytics, man. Let's play some matchups and just put the best pitcher in that's going to match up best with the 3 guys that he's going to face.
Bill Murphy has to be in on that too, because he's the bullpen coach.
Yeah.
So you got to think he's in that conversation as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I say foul. I don't think so. And then Solarth here says, what if Abreu gets back to being Abreu? Well, who'd be the guy if the other two struggle? I think there's probably a chance Abreu could be the 8th inning guy, but no one's taking that job away from Hader. 5-year deal, comes in to be the closer. I mean, he's going to be the closer no matter what unless he gets hurt. That's what I think. All right, now, got a couple of food ones for you, fellas. Let's learn a little bit about you. I had Taco Bell for dinner tonight, and Wally hates it. So, all right, fair or foul. I seen someone do this at work. We had a little dinner, and I just don't get it. Ketchup on tamales, fair or foul?
Ooh, that's not foul. That's illegal.
That's in Texas.
Yeah, that's
he gross. Got away with that in Texas, and he survived to tell about it.
Isn't that gross? I say foul. What do y'all say?
That's horrible. That's foul.
I say it's at least 2 years in Huntsville. That's gross. You're in food prison on that.
It's totally disgusting. All right, number 4. I thought of this because of my breakfast. French toast, fair or foul, is better than pancakes.
Ooh. Now that depends on who's making it.
That's true.
And what kind of French toast better?
Huh?
What kind of French toast? Like, is it the kind that I had growing up as a poor kid that was like the sliced bread, just super slapped in some eggs and done? Or is it like French toast where you've got a baguette that soaks overnight and you have that super custardy kind of like just ooey goodness French toast? Like, there's a different type of French toast. You guys know I'm a classically trained chef, so I know the difference between French toast and French toast. So if we're talking about the ooey gooey kind, like a real French toast where you've got like a 3-day-old baguette that you soak overnight in the custard and it comes out nice and custardy with the crisp on the outside, and I'm a French toast guy. If you're talking about a slice of Wonder Bread dipped in some eggs and thrown on a skillet, then I'm a pancake guy.
Ooh, I don't know, because man, French toast, even if you just, you know, do it pedestrian style,
ghetto style,
it's still pretty strong.
I like pancakes, but I mean, dude, you eat too many of them, you're miserable. But they're both delicious. I'm not going to lie. They're both delicious.
True.
But when I go somewhere to have breakfast and I have the choice of both of them, I always get French toast. So that's it.
That's
the show. So long. See you later. Be sure to send your email in, folks, to astrosbaseballpodcast@gmail.com, because we're going to give another shirt away. But we're going to let everyone in on it. We're going to share it on social media. We're going to share it everywhere. So if you want it, you better try harder this time. Thanks to everyone that tried last time. Ram shirts, they got the $14 sale. Once again, go get you a Ram shirt for Wally and Ryan. We'll see you next time on Astros Baseball.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.